Give the Lord a prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, and we just thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the examples that were set before us, Father. Those who are faithful, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement we find in song and hymn, Father. Lord, we just ask for your wisdom, Father, as we open your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak to your people, Father. Lord, help us to have ears to hear, Father, and take heed to your word, God. Lord, we just want to thank you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1. Verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. But the Lord hath promised, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's stop there for just a minute. Appreciated the verses that the children brought out, the young people, about what it meant to be a follower of Christ. That, yea, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's a promise to those who live godly in Christ Jesus. Really appreciated those verses. Woe unto you when men speak well of you and say good things about you. And the Bible says that whenever they cast your name out as evil, that we're to rejoice and leap for joy. For so did they to the prophets and to the saints that were before us. What a blessing it is to have those comforting words. That we would maybe be called to leave all and lose all and follow the Lord. And yet the Lord put the comforting words there that if we lose our life for His sake, we'll find it. That's a real blessing. This morning, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I guess one thing I want to talk about this morning is that this perfection that Brother James is talking about, it comes through trials. And it comes through temptations. And it comes through struggles. One thing he talks here towards the end of the verse, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." In one place here in James, it says, verse 3, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 1. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, that the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. One time I heard a message a long time ago warning people not to let their theology get ahead of the way they live. It's probably one of the greatest dangers that we have. People with a head full of knowledge above how they live. The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up. Puffed up, proud. Whenever you're puffed up and proud, you don't hear because you already know the answer. One of the things that probably is most alarming to me is that everybody that we talk to, with few exceptions, there are a few, they all want to teach us something. Everybody wants to be a teacher. Everybody wants to be the one to tell everybody else how to do. Tell everybody else where they're wrong. But until you have a life that can back up what you're talking about, it's vain and it's worthless. Absolutely worse than worthless. It's destructive. Everybody wants to think that they have something to say. But where is a wise man? Where is a humble man that's willing to listen before he's willing to talk? That's willing to learn and live and understand before he goes out and begins to teach? My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Teaching the message of the kingdom of God is the greatest responsibility that there is in this world. We're talking about life and we're talking about death. By our words, men are going to live or they're going to die. That's serious business. That is serious business. And it's real. Be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the condemnation, greater condemnation. When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, a lot of people are afraid that they're going to be judged for what they didn't say, or how come they didn't go out and be a real witness for the Lord, or be a real evangelist. But we don't think sometimes that we're going to give an account for what we did say. We have the potential to lead people to light or to lead them into darkness. And if all we're doing is spouting off things that we've heard and learned and read in a book and studied and talked about, there is a big, big chance that you're going to lead someone into darkness. They might get a little good out of it. They might learn a little bit. They might become just as an eloquent evangelist as you are. But it's still darkness. One of the most dangerous things in this world is to have true and right doctrine. Be able to preach all about the cross. Be able to teach all about the kingdom of God. And yet, not really know what it's about. In a practical way of living. Knowing what it is to bear the cross. Knowing what it is to bear the shame. Instead of just having it in our head and being able to talk about it and preach about it. The kingdom of God is alive and it's real. And we need men that'll take that message and live it. And live it. And learn. And endure temptations patiently. And then have something to say. We've got to be careful. In evangelical circles, there's a lot of people that think that they're following the Holy Spirit of God because they're following little urges. Oh, you need to go talk to that person. You need to be a preacher. You need to be out witnessing. They hear messages about going. And they go. And they think they have something to say. But the Spirit of God teaches a man to be holy. Teaches a man to live the life of Christ. Being a disciple. Working with brothers. Working with each other. And being faithful to Him. Waiting. The song we sing sometimes, ready to go, ready to stay, ready to do thy will, ready to suffer, ready to wait, just to carry out His will. It's about the will of God, not about you being an evangelist. Or not about you being some super saint. It's about you doing the will of God. And waiting. And being patient. Maturing. Being perfect. Doing what He wants us to do. We talked about, there here it talks about asking for wisdom. To ask for wisdom. It says that, in verse 3 it says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, talking about the wrong kind of wisdom. In verse 13 it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a good putting into practice, the way he lives. In Peter it talks about the wife will win her husband with a good conversation or a good lifestyle. It's not a good argument. It's a good way of living. The power, the gospel that Paul preached was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with power. Now, I'm not talking about doing miracles and being able to do all those kinds of things. I'm talking the power of a life devoted to God, the power of the gospel of Christ, the power of the cross to overcome what man can overcome. Man can't control his tongue. But when the man dies and God is in control of his life, he can. There won't be sweet water and bitterness. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. Meekness. This is not weakness. It's meekness. It takes a strong man to meekly be under the yoke that God wants him to be in. Any wild horse or a Mustang can just run out and do whatever he wants to and show off his strength by kicking his heels, by bucking and snorting and jumping over fences, by doing whatever he wants to do. But with meekness of wisdom, one that could outpull it any day and probably outjump it, has his under control and under the yoke, that is guided and easily to be entreated and easily to be guided, easily to set in a different path, willing to lay down his life that the will of the Lord would be done. There's thousands of missionaries all over the world that think that they're obeying and doing the will of God because they left their house, went over to some foreign country, and are telling people a false gospel. And they think they're doing the will of God. The Bible says that he that does the will of God hears the teachings of Christ and puts them into practice in his life. He walks in the light as he is in the light. And they have fellowship one with another because they're walking in that light. We are reconciled with God through the power of the cross. We are back doing what he wants us to do. We're the man and he is God. He is in control of our lives. If God sets me on the back burner for a while, I'm happy to be on the back burner for a while. If God wants me right in the fire for a while, I want to be happy to be right there in that fire for a while. I want to do the will of God. A wise man, endued with knowledge, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. A man that can be guided. He doesn't have to be out front all the time. You know, whenever I was first started reading and understanding the Bible, and I first came to the light, I'd gone to church all of my life. There was very few glimpses of light, but when I yielded to that light and began walking in it, the first thing I wanted was someone to help me and show me. I looked for a man of God that I could look up to. One of my most frequent prayers was, God, send someone to show me how to be a Christian. Send someone to show me how to be a disciple. I prayed and I prayed, God, send someone. And I'd find a man that had a little bit more than I would, and I would sit at his feet and listen. I used to go to a man's house every Wednesday. He had a whole row of books, and he had books of martyrs and some of the early church and some of the church histories and all kinds of things. Well, he knew more than I did. And I went at his house and I sat there and I listened to him, and he told me about being strong and being a faithful man. He told me that one man and God is a majority. He taught me that you need to be a disciple. You need to stand up for what's right and do what's right. And I appreciated what I learned from him. And I went every Wednesday and sat in there. And I remember one time, me and three or four other young men were there. And we went, and he said one time, he read in the book of Daniel about who wanted to be a star for God. Who wanted to shine forever as heaven? As heaven said, they that turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars in glory. And he asked that question, and I raised my hand. Some of the others didn't. And asked why? They said, I don't want to pay the price of what it'll take. But he challenged me, and he taught me some things. And after a while, the fun started wearing off for him. And pretty soon, I went over to his house one evening, and All-Star Wrestling was on TV. And he said, let's just sit out here and watch this. This is my favorite wrestler here. He said, he's in there performing. Now, oh, what's that? Look at him. He said, look, we'll talk a little bit later. He wanted to watch wrestling instead of talking about Jesus. I said, this is as far as I'm going on this train. And I left it. So I started seeking for other people. Looking for a man that not only knew what he was talking about, but lived that way. That's what I've been doing for the last 25 years. Still looking for men who have hearts after God. And I listened to them. And I submitted to any I found, because they had more than I did. I joined different churches because they had more life than I did, knowing that they didn't have everything. Knowing that they didn't work, that I was going to have to go against some things that I even knew were right. But they had more than I did in some other areas, and I wanted to learn from them, and I wanted to be a part of them. I wanted to preach. I wanted to tell people. But I wanted someone to help me do it, because I was scared to death to go try to talk to someone. I went knocking on doors, and I didn't know what to say to these people. They had opened their Bibles whenever I got up to the door, and they'd just tear me up with their little row of scriptures. And I'd go home every time, get on my knees and open my Bible and say, God, what is truth? Pretty soon he'd show me. Over and over and over again. begging, God, send someone to show me what to do and how to say and how to talk this thing. How to tell the kingdom of God. And how to live it. Constantly told, you're spending way too much time doing that. You're losing your mind. Constantly told that I was wrong. But I knew there was more. And I sought for people to help me. I preached door to door. I went to the Mennonite church and with encouragement of one of the brothers that I looked up to there began preaching out on the streets, going more and more. I remember he had encouraged me to go and then he'd sit in the car and watch me preach because he didn't want to be seen out there with me. But he was behind me and I appreciated every bit of it. That there was someone that would just at least encourage me a little bit. And I learned from that man. And after a while we began to get in trouble for preaching in the Mennonites. And they began to complain about some of the things. And I said, you're ordained. I'll gladly. If you will go, if you don't like the way I'm doing it, please, you go. You go ahead of me. I'll follow you around and pray behind you. Show me. Teach me. Go, please. They wouldn't go. And I still don't know everything. And I'm still looking. And I'm still searching. But I know what path I'm taking. And if I can learn something on the way, I want to learn it. And I would have given anything to have found a church that I could have just said, teach me. Teach me. I'll lay it all down. I want to follow Jesus. This wisdom works with meekness of wisdom. You young men, you young people, maybe you older men that are new, be slow to speak, swift to hear. I appreciate what we've got. I appreciate the zeal. But don't let that zeal get out ahead of what you're living. There's some maturing that needs to be done. The way I understand it, Paul, after he met the Lord, went off 3 years out to the desert. Jesus was 30 before he began to preach. Humble yourselves. Be a servant. Don't be a master. Learn to be a servant. Learn to seek quietly. Learn the will of God. Learn the precious power there is in just sitting on the back burner and just simmering for a while. God will work everything out in His time. If you work in His time. Some people come and they ask for wisdom. They ask for counsel. When you have enough wisdom to seek counsel sincerely and are ready to follow it, you probably have enough wisdom to actually make a decision on your own. I don't know how many times I've found that true. Sometimes I preach a message and the very person that is humble and ready to hear it hears it, and the people that don't want to hear it act like I was just encouraging them right on just what they were doing. Happens all the time. They don't have ears to hear. When you have enough wisdom to seek counsel, you probably have enough wisdom to make a good decision. When you choose to do something on your own, you probably don't. We've got some situations here. I remember one time, whenever I was first with the Mennonites, there was a couple of Amish girls that wanted to leave home and come to church, to the Mennonite church. They talked about being born again and following the Lord. I'll never forget what the old bishop told them. You go home and you live in submission to your parents for 2 years. You listen to them. You follow and you listen to your parents for 2 years. And if you still want to follow Jesus after that, then we'll go on. I appreciated that. Those girls didn't need to be. They may have been honest. They may have been very true and sincere. But this will prove their sincerity. And this will prove their faithfulness. But if they had said, no, we want to come on anyway, you know what that would have shown? A real dedication to Jesus or a real rebellion? What do you think? We get in trouble because we teach that the woman should submit to her husband and then wear a veil. Because that veil represents her submission and her meekness to her husband's rule and authority over her life. There's a lot of churches teach that she ought to wear a veil and rebel against her husband. That is pure rebellion, witchcraft, wickedness, however you want to call it. It's as bad as it gets. There's people that will kidnap their women and wives and children just to get them into their church. Well, I don't want a one of them if they're in rebellion. There's a lot of times young men and people have to stand up to their fathers and go against them. Sometimes they are right to do that, to walk in the light. But you know, it means a lot to me. It would mean a lot to me is after they do that, when they come, they get under some man and say, you be my father for a while. My dad wouldn't let me follow Jesus. You be my dad for a while, and I'll listen to you. That'd speak a whole bunch louder to me. Because it's easy to cover up rebellion just by getting loud, going out and preaching a lot, getting real evangelistic, getting real serious about going out and preaching. We've got people who've been doing this for a long time. Don't be a wild Mustang. Get with somebody. Learn from them. Sit and listen. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. All God needs is a meek man with wisdom. Sometimes we can make things look pretty good, but I hate that. I want real more than I want looking good. I'd rather have 5 dedicated people than 500 somewhere in the middle of something. We're not trying to get people to church. We're not trying to bust the doors and make a big building. We're trying to get people who are honest and true and faithful and loyal, dedicated to following Christ. Even if that means submitting themselves under an older brother or an older sister and showing true humility and meekness, biding their time, patiently maturing. There's several people that have come here that have been here in times past, flaming evangelists, zealous, exciting, fearless, bold. Go right into a Catholic church. Get right up in the top, as high as they can get in it, and string out a banner and start preaching while a Catholic festival is going on. Bold men. But they had their own will and their own way. And they had problems in their life. And whenever they came for counsel, we told them, you need to mature. You need to grow up. You need just to learn to be. What do I need to do? I want to do something. I want to do something now. You need to mature, and you don't mature overnight. You don't spend time in the desert in a 15-minute Bible course. Time in the desert, Moses wanted to deliver the people of God out of Egypt. And he wound up spending 40 years in the desert before that happened. We can study the Bible for 6 hours a day or 10 hours a day for a few weeks and think we're Paul. We can study the early Christians and the church history, and we can know all of that right and left. Think we're going to rise up and be a Moses. Moses got slapped in the next week. Wound up 40 years in the backside of that desert. We need to learn to take responsibilities and be faithful right at home. We need to learn to work. We need to learn to take care of everyone. We need to learn to seek the fatherless and the widows and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. The world is pride, envy, lust for things, lust for power, lust for acknowledgement. That's the world. Keep ourselves unspotted from those things. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you. Everybody's got their idea for their ministry. Until it's God's ministry. It isn't nothing. The early church sent disciples. How shall they hear unless they be sent? We teach that the young women shouldn't be make boisterous displays to try to draw attention to their beauty. We teach that they shouldn't be talking to the boys, dropping little hints and suggestions that they might be available. We teach that they blend in and be a godly daughter, a godly brother and sister, that you don't really notice, they don't really stick out, you don't really hear much out of them. They just faithfully serve. Quietly, loyally, dedicated, serve. And then some young man, he avoids those that are loud, trying to make themselves look pretty, trying to draw attention to themselves. They shun them kind. But they see one that's being loyal and faithful and obedient, and he picks her to be his bride. That's what Christ is looking for. Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. You be faithful in the little things. You be faithful in doing what you're instructed to do. Get under someone. Just because you have more time doesn't mean you ought to be the one out there preaching all the time. Maybe you could work for someone for a while and let someone that is busy go preach sometime. We're not all about preaching. We're all about being Christians and being disciples of Christ. Evangelism is a fruit of that. Seek for wisdom. Make those decisions that you ought to be making. Submit yourself to them. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The Bible talks about being lukewarm, neither hot or cold. Whenever we make decisions, sometimes we don't know everything. But we need to make a decision based on what's right in front of us when we have to make it. We've made a lot of decisions that whenever, after we've weighed everything we see to weigh and we've seen the pros and cons and the rights and the wrongs, we make a choice. We need to make those choices and do what's right, no matter what anybody thinks. No matter what the pressure around us is, we want to do what's right. Be faithful to the Lord. Be ye doers of the word. Satan's got all kinds of talkers. He's looking for people who will, the Lord is looking for people who will live that way. And humility and submission and meekness and patience are part of that fruit. You start getting that kind of fruit, then when you start preaching, people might start listening. They might start hating it, but they'll hear it. Whenever you don't talk much and speak much and you're not, people listen when you say something. Because it has some meaning to it. I got told this week, because we was out preaching at in front of a revival meeting, the man that was in charge of it calls. And you see, the thing about it is, a lot of places we go preach, you don't know these people. But I do. And they know me. And they know my phone number. And I hear about it. He chewed me every way from Sunday for us being out there. And I just told him, I said, we had the teachings of Jesus, and I told him what they were. And he said, well, I agree with all of that, but you're turning people away. And I said, if they won't receive the teachings of Jesus, they won't receive Jesus. They won't get saved. And he went on and on and on and said, I used to respect you. You stood for what you believed. And I respected that. But he said, I've lost all my respect for you. We're trying to do a good thing here. And I just said, you don't understand. You're missing the teachings of Jesus. He called me back the next day. And he said, thank you for just listening to me. You didn't get mad. You didn't argue with me. You didn't cause a big... You heard me. And you know, I've been thinking about some of the things you said, and I didn't say a handful of words, and I thought what I did say was pathetic. And he said, I'm hearing you. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm preaching Saturday night, and I'm going to preach about some of that stuff you're saying. I said, well, praise the Lord. If he does, he'll probably know what it means to be misunderstood whenever he says some of those things. People see faithfulness. The early Christians taught, preach. Preach. And if you have to, use words. We're living in a dark, dark time. And I can see things coming on the horizon. It's going to get darker. And it's going to get harder. And it's going to get rougher. And there may be a time we don't even go out anymore. But we just look for those quietly who we might find that would hear. That's what the Anabaptists did. We've got an opportunity now. But we better be what we need to be when we're out there. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. not just the mouthpiece. Let the church be a part Let the church see the faithful. Let the church be a help. I would have loved to have walked into a church like this whenever I was young and just said, let me be a stick picker, a rock picker, whatever I need to be. I want to learn. I'll pray. I'll go with you and I'll carry your Bible. I want to learn. I want to listen. Lord, help us. May the Lord add His blessing to His words. In Jesus' name. Father, we come before You and we just thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Lord, fill us with the spirit of wisdom, meekness, strength, power. Lord, help us be Your disciples. Bear whatever You would have us bear. Lord, help us rejoice and be exceeding glad. Help us be faithful to You in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to have anything you want to share? Well, Lord willing, we're going to have a baptism this evening at Roaring River. Be there at 5:30. Have the baptism there. And have the fellowship meal, communion there. So. Anyone else have anything?
I'm sorry for dropping your name in your full name. I just, I Oh, it's no problem. That's all right. I mean, they knew who he was. You didn't have to tell them. Yeah. No, they know. They know all about you. There's no problem.
I really think it was a blessing because the gentleman kind of talked to me Saturday also that they were speaking of. And because of David's conversation, I think he had his eyes open a lot because in past conversations, he's pretty set on where he was at. But he even asked me a few questions about how we saw things on some issues. And he also mentioned to me that he's not going to church now. He left the church because he said Jesus is not there. And he said they were just studying at home right now. And he said that it's been a blessing so far because you take away all the denominational things and all the man-made rules and stuff, and he said the scriptures seem a little more simple to him. So I pray that, you know, he'll keep searching, because I think just what you said, I think he will see a lot of what the brothers go through every week trying to preach God's word. And I think he's at that point now where he's ready to stand, and I think he's going to start seeing some of that. And he's going to see how lonely it really is, except for having Christ on his side. So I pray that, you know, that he will keep looking, because I think he's really starting. He's a very proud man, so I think it's really starting to humble him a little bit more and more. So.
Amen.
I think it's a blessing.
I appreciated him calling. Just he had the courage to call. Just say it. I appreciate it. I'm not whining about that. It's just I appreciate he did.
Yeah, because we got another person that contacted us too, and they were pretty quiet as far as except to us. Expressing that, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it was. I told him, I said, you know, I think I appreciated him actually contacting, you know, and saying it instead of just going off, you know, saying all those kind of things to everybody else, never ever really coming to the source. Because I said, I tried to be very transparent, and I said, if you have any questions, we're willing to try to say what we believe and what we see, why we do what we do. So,
amen.
I also got visited by my neighbor about the same thing. He came and he was the closest to being upset I've ever seen him. It was pretty hard for him to get. Pretty hard for me to see him upset, usually, but this is the closest he was because that particular church where the brethren preached is really close to his heart. He likes to go there every revival they have. He just, why? Marcus, why were the brethren there? Why were you all there like that? I told him. He said, what were you protesting against? What was the problem? Who were you? I said, well, it's just, we're showing the teachings of Jesus that are not being followed. Oh, he said, so it's not the church there or the people you're protesting against. No, it's the thing of calling yourself a Christian when you're not really following Christ's teaching. And he mentioned divorce and remarriage. And he said, I am in agreement with that, that it is for life. And said, well, I'm sure they had the sign there, probably the true Christians don't go to war. And he said, well, he argued that a little bit. He said, in the Old Testament, they sure went to war. And I explained that Jesus said, yes, it was needful in the old time. But I say unto you, I say unto you, love your enemies. Don't resist evil. And he said, well, the nation has to protect its own. I said, we know that and appreciate that. And appreciate what soldiers do often. But don't call yourself a Christian and being defending this world and this nation. The chaplains having whole congregations of soldiers on the battlefield saying they're Christians. He said, I don't agree with that at all. I know what you're saying. I don't agree with them doing that at all. Okay, now, let's get off that subject. I want to tell you a funny one. And then he told me about a respected cowboy in the community that a lot of people just really look up to. Young cowboy that has a pretty attractive young wife and has a little son or so. And he got an old man that I know real well. He got really treated badly by this old man, very unjustly. And he went up to this old man, and this was told to me by the same neighbor here, and he said, this is a funny thing I want to tell you. He got up to him, went to him about the injustice he had done to him economically, and just about ruined him for a while financially, and challenged him about it. And the old man got right in this young Christian cowboy's face and started really giving it to him. And the young cowboy said, I know this isn't a Christian way of doing things, but I am going to break your jaw if you don't get out of my face right now. And the old man backed down. He went. The young cowboy said, I'm going to just load up all your cattle that I've been taking care of. I'm going to drop them off to you, and you can do with them what you want. And so they had a great falling out, and that was supposed to be so funny. It was just a case in point, right away, I mean, right there, immediately, as to why our brethren were teaching the truth there. I really appreciate Brother David's concerned tone in telling us.
So what you're saying is God started a knowledge that we have is going to be there after.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Huh. Yes. Appreciate the concern about us living that life first. Faithless life first.
God bless you. We'll see you this evening, Crowing River, 5:30.
You have my sin for me. Lord.